Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager. This is the Fireside Chat with Otto. How well known is Otto? You ask? Probably not asking, but I'll ask. Anyway, first of all, is he up? What's the story here? Is he awake?
No.
No. Okay. By the way, Otto goes into position as soon as the cameras and lights arrive. It's really adorable to watch. So I was in Hawaii over the weekend giving some lectures, which was a very moving experience. Over 1,000 people, the Aloha Freedom Coalition invited me. And it was very moving to talk to so many and spend hours posing for pictures with people of every background. It was actually, it was encouraging to me. Hawaii is not one of the more libertarian states, shall we put it. Anyway, the number of people who commented on Otto in Hawaii, even on the street, was quite remarkable, to say the least. Let me go to the Middle East, and then I'm going to comment on a, what would we call him, a late-night show? A guy who does a late-night show, John Oliver, has talked about the Middle East, and I'm simply going to use his monologue on the Middle East by way of answering a lot of the attacks on Israel. But I will just say at the outset, it is a bit depressing, and it always has been in my life, the inability of so many people in the world to recognize evil, to not understand that Hamas embodies evil, is to truly have what we call a broken moral compass. And it's not new. A lot of people did not understand the evil that the Nazis presented. Most people did not understand the evil that the communists represented. Even to today, people will frequently take umbrage at calling communism evil. The fact that it killed 100 million people, civilians, not wartime deaths, civilians, means nothing. As Stalin said, one death is a tragedy, a million is a statistic. He should know he killed 20 to 40 million of his own people. I have long ago, this was the first big moral realization of my life, I think, either high school or college, when I said it is wrong to call evil dark. Evil is actually very bright. You can look into the dark, but you cannot look into very bright light. People do not stare at evil. They recoil from acknowledging it. In the struggle between Hamas and Israel, to not understand that we're talking about darkness and light with all the flaws that Israel, as any country, would have, it is light compared to the darkness of Hamas. To not understand that, this totalitarian, theocratic dictatorship tortures its own opponents, its own Palestinian opponents are tortured to death regularly. There are no freedoms in Gaza. Hamas took over Gaza when Israel left. Israel occupied Gaza, and the whole world said, leave, leave, and then you will see how things will work out. And they did see how things will work out. Horrible human beings sending thousands of rockets to kill as many Israelis as possible followed the Israel leaving of Gaza. So imagine if Israel left the West Bank. What would happen? You just have another Hamas-run place to try to destroy Israel. One final point. This is not a normal war. This is not a normal antipathy. The opponents of Israel do not want to defeat Israel. They want to destroy Israel. That's a big difference. There are 22 Arab states, but there's no room for one Jewish one the size of New Jersey. There are 50-something Muslim countries, but there's no room in the world for one tiny Jewish country the size of New Jersey. Just think about that for a moment. Okay? Now let's go to John Oliver, who is on HBO. I was not familiar with him until Megan brought this to my attention, and I'm glad that she did. And my column this week is a perfect... He is a living embodiment of it. The title of my column this week, which is easily found on my website, Town Hall, Daily Wire, American Greatness, and many other sites. And Real Clear Politics picked it up, which is not a conservative site. They take what they think are the most important left and right articles. Anyway, it's certainly all over the internet, and it's titled, if I can remember it correctly, Men Give Birth, America Was Founded in 1619, and Israel is the aggressor. That is what the left's upside-down world would have you believe, those three things. And isn't it amazing that all those who say men give birth, virtually anyone who does, also thinks Israel is wrong? It so follows a pattern, isn't it? Fascinating. And Israel is the aggressor is as true as men give birth. By the way, the left would agree. That's the irony. It's one of the few things we'd all agree on. All right, let's take a look at John Oliver here, and I will interrupt to make some comments.
The citizens of Gaza don't have an iron dome to protect them the way that the citizens of Israel do. It's one of the many ways they're at a significant disadvantage. Although,
Wait. Therefore what? Notice there is no question about already we have literally demoralized the whole situation. The citizens of Gaza don't have an iron dome to protect them. To protect them against what? Is Israel shooting rockets all over Gaza, like Hamas is doing to Israel, thousands? Did Israel start the war or did Hamas start the war? You know what? Hitler's Germany didn't have nearly the same defenses to defend Germany as Britain had to defend Britain by the end of World War II. Does that make Hitler a victim? Does that make the Nazis victims? Would he prefer that Israel not have an Iron Dome? And then what? So, in other words, this is part of the left-wing demoralization of morality, that the weak are necessarily in the right. It's truly pathologic.
An Israeli military spokesperson tried to push back on the idea that there's really much of a discrepancy there.
Somebody on Twitter said that the Palestinians don't have an iron dome. I say, yes, they have an iron dome. It's called Don't Fire Rockets at Israeli Civilians, and We Won't Fire Anything at Gaza.
That was brilliant. That's exactly right. Their iron dome is don't kill us. That's exactly right. This spokesman, and he's going to make fun of it, I assume, otherwise he wouldn't have put it up. That spokesman for Israel, it was so real. The left loathes the real. It's a dissection of reality. Yes, they have an iron dome. Don't try to slaughter us. Make peace with us. That's their iron dome. Then everything is possible. Here's a question, the only question one has to reflect on. If Israel dropped its arms completely, it just demilitarized, no more army, no more navy, no more air force, no more use of arms, what would happen the next day? And if the Palestinians, no more fighting, no more terror, no more rockets, no more arms, what would happen the next day in that case? Well, we know. If Israel did it, the next day there would be genocide of the Jewish people of Israel. Whereas if the Palestinians demilitarized, there would be peace the next day in the Middle East. That's what everyone who dares look at reality knows. Israel has no interest in war. Whenever there has been a war in the last 100 years, it has always been between two police states or between a police state and a free state. Never between two free states. They don't fight each other. And whenever there is a free state police state battle, the police state started the battle. Whether it was Pearl Harbor or the Nazi invasion of Poland or what is happening now with Hamas.
Yeah, but there are a couple of differences. Iron Dome, for one, sounds much cooler. And also, it has the significant advantage.
Wait, what does that even mean? Iron Dome sounds cooler than what? He talks well and fast, but he doesn't say anything meaningful. Okay, we'll continue.
Fence system that exists, unlike Gaza's, which is mostly try not to be where the bombs are landing. And it's important to note here, the vast majority of the Palestinians in Gaza are not part of Hamas.
Okay, so what? Nothing here says matters. The vast majority of Germans were not Nazis. The vast majority of Russians were not communists. So what? It's a meaningless point. Anyway, how does he know what the vast majority of people in Gaza, they didn't vote for Hamas? I don't know. Maybe they didn't. I'm sure the elections are rigged. But maybe they did. How does he know? But the fact that they're not members of Hamas, to the extent that that is true, so what? It's true for every police state.
They don't get together and all decide to launch rockets. It's not a co-op board. But when Israel fires rockets...
Right, it's not a co-op board. Right. So the average Palestinian is opposed to what Hamas is doing? Does he know? I don't know. Maybe they are. But how does he know? Would he willingly make a bet if there was an actual free election? Do you think that Hamas should try to destroy Israel or not? What the vote would be? I don't know what the vote would be. How does he know?
When Israel fires rockets at Gaza, it endangers all Palestinians there. Maybe somebody on Twitter could point that out to that guy.
Point what out to that guy? Point what out? I'm dissecting it almost sentence by sentence. I still don't point what out. What the guy said is correct. Their Iron Dome is peace. He didn't respond at all to what the IDF, the Israel Defense Force spokesman, said.
To people in Gaza, it can seem like the only time anyone pays attention to what's happening there is when Hamas is firing rockets, which is understandably very frustrating because they've been living under a suffocating blockade.
You know why they're living under a suffocating blockade? Because they want to bring in missiles from Iran to destroy Israel. That's why there's a blockade. If there were no blockade, what do you think would come into Gaza? Girl Scout cookies? Checker games? What do you think would come in? Everything he has said is nonsense. But here's the deal. Let's debate. John Oliver, I publicly invite you. I am always polite in debates. I will give $1,000 to your favorite medical charity. Debate anywhere in the country, providing it is both televised on your show and it is broadcast on my show. How is that? Is that a good deal? You think he'll accept, ladies and gentlemen? The left never debates. So I predict a no. I predict no answer. But for those of you who are curious, gee, who's right? Here's a chance to have a debate. They could have any moderator they want.
And in Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories, Palestinians are essentially being governed by a form of apartheid.
Apartheid? What does it mean, a form of apartheid? Do Arab Israelis not have the same rights as Jewish Israelis? If he's saying that, he's lying. That's a big charge to say someone is lying. Not mistaken, it's a lie. As for the West Bank, that's true. It is governed, that is correct. It is governed by Israel because when Jordan owned it in 1967, it tried to destroy Israel and Israel didn't let itself be destroyed. So it took over the West Bank and was very happy to return the West Bank. But the Arabs said in 1967, they went to Khartoum and they announced no negotiations, no peace, no recognition. What was Israel supposed to do?
An assessment echoed by both international and Israeli human rights groups.
Oh, human rights groups. Oh, they have a record of tremendous moral acuity.
Life in Gaza is hard even when they are not being bombed. And the US government has implicitly co-signed on the brutally hard line Israel's been taking.
Okay, the US has co-signed. When the US supported Israel for the 4 years of Donald Trump, this didn't happen. I'm not saying it is definitely a result of the election of the Democrats in the United States, but it's hard to believe it is not related that within a few months of Joe Biden becoming president, the wars began again. While Donald Trump was president, The fact is, Arab state after Arab state actually recognized Israel. It was a remarkable thing. From Morocco to Dubai, it was quite remarkable. Even Sudan. Now we have war. You know why? Weakness invites war. Strength invites peace. That's real life. Is it nice? The question isn't, is it nice? The question is it true?
This guy basically gave Israel a green light to do anything it wanted for the last 4 years. And while Biden has had the opportunity to reset that relationship, his administration's response this week has been deeply underwhelming, giving a generic statement that Israel has a right to defend itself.
Why is that underwhelming? What is Israel supposed to do? He never once, no one on the left who loathes Israel has been able to offer an alternative to what Israel is doing. What would you like Israel to do? The attempt to obliterate, to murder, to slaughter, to burn as many Jews as possible in Israel is being taken. The Iron Dome is stopping most of it. What would you like Israel to do? They never say, what should Israel do? This is disproportionate. What's a proportionate response? If only 10 Israeli dies, do they make sure that only 10 Palestinians die? What should Israel do? What would America do? What would any country do if there was an enemy that tried to obliterate its population?
Exact same line that Obama said and that Bush said before him. Israel has a right to defend itself is just something all presidents end up saying out loud at some point in office, like my fellow Americans or what do you mean?
Right, so it's meaningless. Israel has a right to defend itself is a meaningless phrase to this moral giant.
It's not that Israel doesn't have the right to defend itself. It's just that line cannot be used to excuse absolutely everything.
Okay, what again? What is inexcusable?
Multiple children have been killed this
week. Yes, children are killed. That's correct. How could Israel avoid killing children when they are in the same building with Hamas people? What is Israel to do? The Israeli army is known as the most meticulous in avoiding killing civilians in the world. Watch the video. It was tweeted out by Israel's prime minister, the Prager University video. Take a look at it. The PragerU video on Israel is the most moral army in the world. It is given by a British colonel, the head of British, the commander of British forces in Afghanistan, who has fought all over the world. And this man, a colonel in the British army, said that the most moral army in the world is Israel's. But children die. You know how many children died when the Allies bombed Nazi Germany? If he were alive then, he would have spoken about how evil America and Britain were for bombing Germany. Yes, we'll just allow the Holocaust to go on a little longer, but we won't bomb Germany.
8 in a single strike just yesterday, and the US is heavily implicated here. Not just by serving as Israel's diplomatic shield at the UN, but by constantly refusing to criticize the indefensible.
What was indefensible? That's what I'd like to know. That children die? How do you retaliate with no children dying when Hamas uses children as shields? That is their tactic. That is their tactic. What is Israel supposed to do? He doesn't even mention that.
You know, the Israelis killed 13 people just
pretty
now.
Pretty simple question.
You know, including maybe 5 or 6 children. Do you condemn that? Do you condemn the killing of children?
Okay, do you condemn the killing of children? The deliberate killing of children is evil. The non-deliberate killing of children in a war is a tragedy. It's a demagogic question. Do you condemn the killing of children? Does this man think, a U.S. spokesman thinks it's okay to kill children? The demagoguery of this is, you can choke on it. Is Israel targeting children? Or is Hamas placing children in a place so they could die? Hamas, I truly believe, Hamas doesn't give a damn about the children of Gaza. They use them so that they can have John Oliver's of the world attack Israel. The greatest ally of Hamas is the world media, including John Oliver. If anybody is enabling these things to happen, it is the world's left. If they knew that the world media was not pro-Hamas, was not anti-Israel as much as it is, they would not embark on these things. They don't gain anything militarily. What they want to do is give Israel as terrible a name as possible. And the John Olivers of the world are the useful idiots, as they used to call the people who somehow saw moral equivalence between America and Soviet and the Soviet Union. God must love these people. He's made a lot of them.
I'm asking, do you condemn the killing of Palestinian children?
Obviously, and these reports are just emerging, and I understand, I was just speaking to the team, I understand we don't have independent confirmation of facts on the ground yet, so I'm very hesitant to get into reports that are just emerging.
All he needed to say was, I condemn the use of children as human shields. Okay? That's the reality. And then say, do you, sir? How about throwing it back at this pompous guy with the mask on? Do you condemn the use of children as human shields? Okay.
I know how this looks, but trust me, it is complicated. Look, there is a real tendency, particularly in America, to both sides this situation, and I'm not saying that there aren't some areas where that's warranted, but it's important to recognize there are also areas where it's simply not.
It is not an issue of both sides are equally right or equally wrong. We both agree with that. He thinks Israel is the villain. I think Hamas is the villain. Nothing like moral clarity or clarity in general. You know my motto, clarity over agreement. This one is perfect. We have clarity and agreement. We both think one side is wrong. He thinks it's the Israeli democracy. I think it's the Hamas totalitarians. The people who started the war are wrong.
Both sides are firing rockets, but one side has one of the most advanced militaries in the world. Both sides are suffering heartbreaking casualties, but one side is suffering them exponentially.
That's right, they are. Because they started. Germans suffered exponentially. Far more civilian losses in Germany than in Britain, let alone in America, where there were virtually none. This is how the left calculates right and wrong. How many died? Because their moral compass is just broken.
And it's not like the US is operating from the moral high ground here. It's obviously no stranger to drone striking weddings and saying, we were just trying to target enemy combatants. This country has blood on its hands too. And look, if you believe Israel's actions are warranted and proportionate this week, you're welcome to try and make that argument. But we have got to start having this conversation honestly.
Let's have a debate. You're prominent, I'm prominent. I have a larger audience than you, but you have a large audience, but I'm willing to expose you to my millions of listeners and to all those who watch these PragerU videos. So I'm going to give you a much larger audience than you'll give me, and yet I'm willing to do it because you invited honest dialogue. Okay, enough of that. Oh, time for our question. Do we have time?
Sure, let's do a video.
Yeah,
we do.
Great.
Hi, Dennis. My name is Joe. I'm from Long Beach, California. I'm 21 years old. And my question for you today is, I'm basically going on a date with a girl I met on the internet. So my question is, what is your general opinion of online dating and what is your opinion of the perfect first date?
I love it. And so nice to get away from politics and evil. I do not know one good argument against online dating. It is one of the few things in life that I believe has no downside. There is a greater downside in having an ice cream sundae than in online dating. That is how I view it. What could possibly be bad about it? It is hard to meet the right person. It is about as hard a thing as there is in life. Okay? It's sort of like winning the lottery. So if you don't buy a ticket, you can't win the lottery. Now, I don't buy lottery tickets because I don't think I'll win. That's a separate issue. But if you want to win the lottery, you need to buy a ticket. This is a better chance than a lottery of meeting someone. I know so many people who have wonderful marriages who met online. What could possibly be wrong with it? You can protect your anonymity. You meet the person the way you want. If you want to first meet through Zoom, meet through Zoom. Well, I don't see. By the way, I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm totally in favor of person to person contact. But if you really want to test the waters and you're afraid, especially a woman might feel that way, then Zoom. Have a Zoom meeting. If I were a single guy his age, I would be on every site available. Are you kidding? Everything. I probably even Tinder. That'll ruin my reputation. But anyway, of course. By the way, I know some terrific conservative people who met on Tinder. There's no predicting where you'll meet somebody. And I don't, if she said, you know what, I feel a little queasy about meeting anybody first time at a coffee shop. Let's have our first quote unquote meeting or date on Zoom. I'd say, fine. That'd be great. I would charm her through Zoom. That's how I would look at it. And if you can't charm a woman, it's a problem. So what is there to lose? Anyway, the beauty, what you should do is you should say who you really are. That's the key, what you really stand for. Let us say you are a conservative. Say it. I believe in the following. That way you've excluded immediately all those who won't date you because you have those values. That's great. You've saved time and money and effort. So that's terrific in and of itself. I know people have used my name. I like Dennis Prager. That excluded much of humanity. It's just a self-deprecating joke. But, well, it's not that big a joke. But anyway, of course, where are you going to meet? How many people does your cousin know? Oh, I'm going to rely on friends to introduce me. How many single people of the opposite sex, presuming it's an opposite sex relationship, do they know that they could introduce you to? One? I mean, two? Where are you going to meet? Seriously, where are you going to meet? Now, people who, well, let's say you go to church, that's great. I always say, you know, meet somebody at church. But even there, there's still a limited number. And you can't troll the whole place, you know, looking for the right person while the pastor is speaking. No, it's not that feasible. So I'm passionately pro internet dating. And what is the perfect first date? The perfect first date is where you actually talk some serious stuff. Knowing the person's favorite movie is not important, or favorite food, or favorite hobby. They're nice. They are adjuncts. They're not the real thing. When I got married at 32. When I dated, I did talk serious stuff on the first date. If she was turned off, then that's fine. Then that was a clue to me. I care about serious subjects more than she does. And so we're not for each other. That's great. Excluding is as important as including. But I mean, to talk just, I don't say the whole date has to be on, you know, the meaning of life and discussing Nietzsche's views on God. I understand that. Although that's, if it happened, it'd be a pretty impressive date, I got to say. But nevertheless, some of it has to be on that, like what matters to you in life. So that the first date should have some substance to it. This is who I am. This is what I'm looking for in life. I mean, a lot of people can't handle that stuff. Okay, but if you can handle that and they can't, then you know the person's not for you. How are we?
We're at
30. I didn't get more questions. What could I do? It's very important to deal with this because it's a big issue today, what's happening in the Middle East. Okay, y'all. So we're good. That means on behalf of Otto, I thank you for watching. I'm Dennis Prager, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.